Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, Packers friends. Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. I hope your weekend is treating you well. We have no football. We have no Packers football. We don't even have NBA basketball, though we do have some all-star stuff, I guess, going on in both the NHL and NBA, but we don't really care about that. We're going to talk about the Packers anyway, and more specifically, we are going to go through a couple more free agent breakdowns, two corners that I want to look over today, Asante Samuel and Tre'Davious Ward, two really interesting players that Green Bay could theoretically target at cornerback. We are probably coming just about to an end with our individual prospect breakdowns. I think tomorrow is going to be Drew Dahlman. I may switch that up a little bit. I know Justice and I are going to talk about Paulson Adebo next Tuesday a little bit, but we're probably finishing up the individual ones, the really interesting ones. If all of a sudden there's another big time player that gets put on the trade block, we could always revisit it down the road. Maybe we take a look at one or two more, but this coming week, we'll probably start looking at a couple of these position groups more in totality and then start putting a plan together. And then of course, getting into draft stuff pretty soon thereafter. But either way, there's never going to be a lack of things to talk about, which is why we do it 365 days a year. Hope you guys are enjoying these breakdowns. And like I said, today we get to go into two corners that are at a position of great need for Green Bay. With that cornerback room being a little bit, let's just say, interesting at the moment. And a lot is going to depend, of course, on exactly what happens with Jaire Alexander. But regardless, this is a position that Green Bay could target either via free agency or the draft. It wouldn't stun me if this was one of those makeover type positions, right? We've seen Goody do it in the past, double, even triple dip at a certain position, whether it be via free agency or via the draft or both combined. And I could easily see corner be in a position like that if that's what Goody wanted to do. And if so, again, we could be looking at either of these cornerbacks that we're talking about today. Let's start with Tre'Davious Ward. We know why Green Bay could theoretically be interested here. He's PFF's 13th ranked free agent overall. He is expected to leave in free agency. He's already stated he wants a change in scenery. If you're not aware, he had a pretty big family tragedy this past year in 2024. Extremely sad story. Don't want to get into the details of it, but it clearly affected him in a very significant way, as you would expect. It was a devastating loss for him and his family. So he even said, like, he basically is having trouble being even in the San Francisco area because it brings up memories and things like that. He, for his own well-being, needs a change of scenery. And I think it's going to happen this offseason for him. And hopefully that is the case. And hopefully he can start to heal through that process as well. But it is expected that he does leave San Fran via free agency. Also, San Fran has already invested in the cornerback position, bringing back Lenore and giving him a big contract. So again, it is not expected that Ward is back in San Francisco, which of course does make him available to Green Bay. As far as a contract and what he'd be looking at, both PFF and Spotrac were pretty similar in their expectations for what he would get on the open market. PFF said 13 years, $14.5 million per year, $43.5 million total. And then Spotrac had 3 years, $15.3 million per year, $45.9 million total. So we're talking about a difference of about $2.4 million total over 3 years from those two projections. It's going to be somewhere in that three-year, $15 million range, $45 million total. Guaranteed probably around 25, 30 million. So not a massive contract, but certainly one that would be a significant addition to any team. And some team would have to feel very comfortable with who Tre'Davious Ward is and what he's going to be able to bring to the team by giving him that type of contract. His stats this past year: played in 12 games, started in 12, had 7 passes defended, 54 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, no picks, no sacks, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries. In the prior year, 2023, 17 games, 17 starts, 5 picks, 23 passes defended, 1 pick 6, 1 forced fumble, 72 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. He was a Pro Bowler and a second team All-Pro. One of the themes that you're going to get very quickly is there was a significant difference between Tre'Davious Ward in 2024 and in 2023. And again, that family tragedy likely had a lot to do with that in 2024. Per PFF, He was targeted 51 times this past year, gave up 31 receptions, a 60.8% completion percentage, 412 yards allowed, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 4 pass breakups, 119.1 quarterback rating, and 3 penalties. 2023, as you can imagine, was quite a bit different. Was targeted 101 times, only gave up 55 completions, a 54.5% completion percentage, 653 yards, 3 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. They had him with 17 pass breakups, 63.7 passer rating. Take that in for a moment. A 63.7 passer rating when targeted 101 times. That is an unbelievable season. He did, however, have 12 penalties in 2023. So not quite one per game, but not exactly far from it either. He cut down on those a bit in 2024. I think it was more happenstance because you did still see him grab quite a bit and things like that. So penalties are a bit of an issue. We'll go over that as well in his overall breakdown. This past year, PFF gave him a 56.2 grade, a 48.4 grade in run defense, a 70.1 tackling grade, 43.6 pass rush grade, and a 58.2 coverage grade. Overall, tough season for him, no question about it. As mentioned, a 56.2 overall grade this past year. In 2023, had an 84.7 grade with an 86.5 coverage grade and an 81.0 grade in 2022. And the question is going to remain, was 2024 simply an outlier? And if you signed Tre'Davious Ward, are you getting the 2023 and 2022 versions? Or was 2024 the sign of decline and that's the new Tre'Davious Ward? And that's what you can expect moving forward. That is going to be a huge determining factor on anyone's evaluation on Tre'Davious Ward and just what type of contract and, you know, value that you're putting on him as a unrestricted free agent. He is turning 29 in May. He's 6'1", 196, had a 5.47 relative athletic score coming out of college, a 4.44 40-yard dash. He had extremely, and I mean extremely bad agility testing. That showed up on tape even before I looked at his relative athletic scores, and we'll go over that as well. He was an undrafted free agent in 2018 coming out of the draft and has obviously made himself into a pretty impressive pro that's set to get a pretty significant contract in free agency. The positives, his size and length do him a lot of favors. He breaks up a lot of passes because, you know, you see sometimes the separation against Ward and there will be a little bit of space there. Quarterback will throw the receiver the ball and his size and length just makes up for all of it. And he's able to bat away a ton of passes and make it so that they're not completed and that he's actually coming out on the winning side of those. So you see it as a quarterback and you're like, oh, he's open. If he were 5'10", you know, 180, he might be, but he's got that great size and his arms are long as well. At least they seem long. I didn't measure them myself and didn't look at his arm length, but on tape, it certainly, it plays long and he plays long as a corner overall. The other thing is that I think he fits Jeff Hafley's scheme very well. You can play him in off coverage. You can play him up in man-to-man. You can use him in the slot a little bit, but Green Bay wouldn't do that. And he usually is only like 20, 25 snaps in the slot per season. So not something that you would do a ton of, but he does have a little bit of versatility. And like I said, overall, I do think he fits very well with what Jeff Hafley wants. And he also is a more than willing run defender and tackler as well. He does a great job of battling at the catch point. So there are multiple plays where, because of his size and his length, he has the ability to combat all these plays. Like it's very rare where, you know, it's just somebody's beating him and Ward doesn't make some sort of play on it. He's usually battling at the catch point. Sometimes he loses out on that. Jordan Addison ripped a ball away from him at one point, but more often than not, he is making the play, batting balls down. And even when it looks like the receiver maybe has a chance, he's getting in there and batting it away at the last second. So he does a great job of playing through the play, not giving up on it, battling at the catch point and knocking away a ton of passes at that exact point. In the passing game, I feel like he reads plays very, very well. A little bit of that veteran savvy. He's seen a few things. He knows what's coming. And he's usually pretty tuned into what the offense is trying to do. In run game, it's a little bit different. But in the passing game, he reads it very, very well. He's a more than willing and able tackler. Again, good size, good physicality. There's no shying away from contact. He will come up and make a play. So the tackling is what you love to see. And again, that's a huge reason why he fits well into Jeff Hafley's defense. Again, the PBUs are a huge asset to him and his ability to read plays and use that length to get into passing lanes and break up passes is a huge asset to his overall game. you can match him up with tight ends from time to time. So I saw him matched up with Travis Kelce or a couple other tight ends you would see him with. He's got enough of that size and strength where if you do match him up with a tight end, it's not this huge issue for him. So again, it gives you a little bit more of a weapon and a little bit more versatility as a corner where he can do a couple different things. And if you need somebody to go match up with the Travis Kelce or whoever it might be, Travarius Ward can do a little bit of that as well. And just going back to 2023 for a moment, he was very clearly and obviously one of the best corners in football in 2023. And again, if your valuation of him is going to be wildly different depending on if you're trusting 2023 or if you're believing 2024, it is going to be arguably 2023 is one of the top free agents this offseason. Like he would be not top 20 or 15, like you're talking the top five free agent player if he was the 2023 version of himself. If he's the 2024 version, I don't know that he's a top 30 or 40 player in this free agency class. And you're probably trying to avoid him more than you're trying to sign him. So again, that valuation difference is going to be massive depending on which version of Travarius Ward you think that you're ultimately getting. The negatives, he is primarily an outside corner. So while there is some versatility, you can match him up with tight ends here and there. You're not going to put him in the slot a ton. That is not his forte. You can play him in the left side or right side. That's not an issue, but he is an outside corner. I talked about that agility testing. The change of direction and foot quickness is rough. He kind of wants to be on that sideline, running vertical, kind of a cover three. You know, think in Green Bay plays a lot of cover three, especially this past year. So again, he fits well within the scheme. But when you're looking at some of the other stuff, if you get him in situations where he has to change directions aggressively, get him in some man coverage or matched up with the wrong player, it is a struggle. So you have to put him in a position to succeed. He's going to, again, be better more in that cover two, cover three style of defense. Man-to-man is going to be some problems. And the foot quickness, the change of direction is an issue. It's also an issue coming up in the run game where if you get a running back that has the ability to change those directions quickly or cut on a dime, it just takes him far too long to change directions and go make a play. And a lot of times in those situations, he is dead in water. I didn't think he looked as fast these past couple of years as the 4.440 coming out of college would have indicated. It feels like maybe he's lost a little bit of a step there. Penalties, especially in 2023, but even overall, have been a major issue. You can live with it when you're breaking up 20 some passes, right? And picking off five and nobody's completing passes on you. You know, even if you're at the 10 to 12 penalties, like you live with it because everything else is great. If you're struggling and the coverage isn't as natural and it's not as impressive, now all of a sudden those penalties start to be a lot more annoying. So that's, again, something you have to kind of weigh out a little bit, but they have been prevalent these past couple seasons. I do think he needs to be a bit more disciplined, comes up a bit too aggressively sometimes, will let players behind him. Also in the run game, will bite kind of on the inside. And then again, if a running back cuts on him, they're able to get outside and around him. He's got to stay a little bit more wide because of that. He's got to allow himself a little bit more room for error because he doesn't have that change of direction ability. So he sometimes comes up a little bit too fast and furious, and he kind of needs to break down a little bit better and make sure that he's not allowing those explosive plays by letting him get out, letting a running back or a receiver get outside of him and allow, you know, basically them to get that angle because they're going to win with foot quickness. And he is not with the foot quickness and the change of direction, just going to be a losing proposition for him. Let's see. The longer the play goes on, the more the deficiencies show up. So if he's in cover two, cover three, whatever it might be, even man to man, if it's a 3-5 step drop and the quarterback's getting rid of the ball and it's going towards Ward, more often than not, Ward's going to win. The longer developing the play is, and the more that you have the play, maybe, you know, get into a scramble drill or things like that, that's where the receiver is going to gain a huge advantage, because that's when you get into some of those situations where the foot quickness, the change of direction, the speed, those things are differentiators. Ward has the ability to kind of manipulate you a little bit more, play to his strengths, get you on his island, and do what he wants to do. The longer the play goes on, the advantage really goes to the wide receiver. And that's not exactly breaking news, right? That's why you want a pass rush. And the longer the play goes on, of course, the receiver is going to have an advantage, but it is much more pronounced when it comes to Travarius Ward. Really great earlier into plays, and then that really falls off the longer that the play goes on. Double moves definitely gave him a bit of trouble. And as I mentioned on numerous occasions already, 2024 was a very tough season for him, and he was nowhere near the player that he was in 2023. So then the ultimate question is, should Green Bay sign him? Guess what? you don't need me to tell you. The determination of which version of 2023 or 2024 Treverius Ward, or do you get something in the middle? That is what's going to have to be the weighing out process for Brian Gutekunst. I like the scheme fit. I do think he will bounce back in some way, maybe not quite to 2023, but I think he's going to be better than what we saw in 2024. But he's 29 years old. The foot speed and change of direction is not ideal, and there are flaws in his game. So if you are sort of having to take this gamble of which Ward are you getting, seeing some of those deficiencies as well maybe would give you a little bit more cause for concern, especially with him turning 29 years old. His overall style of play, I would say, be one that you feel pretty comfortable that is going to get him to 29, 30, and 31. But if you sign him to a three-year deal, you know, you are getting him, you know, maybe one more season, quote unquote, kind of in the 29 prime range, but you're getting into those 30s in year two and year three of the deal. More often than not, you're going to see more of those signs of decline, more injuries, more lack of foot speed, and that's already something that is not great for him. That being said, it's never really been great, and he's found ways to win in the NFL consistently over more than the last handful of years, right? So it's a very interesting evaluation. I'll just say I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. If you get anything close to 2023, he can be a big-time player in this defense. I think he could be clearly their best corner. If you get the 2024 version, you just put $45 million into a corner that you might not even want on the field. Like, that is the wild swing of this. So the answer here is I can't tell you. And you have to get him probably in the building, have the conversations, really take a deep dive into the medicals and everything that happened this past year and say, you know, what happened and feel very confident that that is not the Treverius Ward that you are getting. And if you feel great about that, you probably feel like you're actually getting a steal in a free agent signing. But to say that there is risk in it would probably be a bit of an understatement. All right, let's go to Asante Samuel, another really fun free agent in this class at the corner position. He is PFF's 26th overall ranked free agent. The PFF evaluation of him is a three-year, $14.5 million per year, $43.5 million total contract. Spotrac has him as a four-year, $11.46 mil per year, $45.9 million total contract. I'm more in that like three-year, $12 million range. I think that probably sounds more about right. 3 years, 36, 3 years, $40 million, something closer to that. But we're going to have to kind of wait and see to see where that evaluation comes out. But probably somewhere between about 12 and $15 million per year in either a 3 or 4 year deal is what you're looking at for Asante Samuel. Well, it's over. Football season has officially come to an end, and Green Bay now starts fresh as they look forward to the 2025-2026 season. But just because football season's over doesn't mean prize pick season needs to come to an end. While there's never a bad time to sign up, you can download the app right now and sign up today to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And don't forget that prize picks doesn't end with football season. Basketball, college basketball, soccer, tennis, women's college basketball, darts, and so many more sports and options are out there for you to play right now. This week, I'm going with Darius Garland to have a huge week for Cleveland, Anthony Edwards to go off for Minnesota, and I'm even expecting a big game for Jude Bellingham in soccer. I'm keeping my eyes on absolutely everything. Just make sure you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. This past year, only played in four games, had four starts, two pass breakups, and 13 tackles, no picks, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, etc. The previous year, he played 17 games, 16 starts, two interceptions, 13 pass breakups, 63 tackles, and one tackle for loss. For PFF, he was targeted 18 times this past year in those four games, gave up 12 completions, a 66.7% completion percentage for 128 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, one pass breakup, an 87.3 passer rating, and one penalty. Nothing to descript there one way or the other, right? Just some fine numbers over the course of four games. Tough to have that small sample size and really glean too much from it. The prior year, he was targeted 85 times, allowed 55 completions, a 64.7% completion percentage, gave up 737 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions, 11 pass breakups, four penalties, and a 98.0 quarterback rating. His overall grade per PFF in 2024 was only 59.3. In 2023, it was 73.9. And in 2022, it was 72.6. what I would argue is like an above average cover corner. Not great, not wonderful, but a solid to above average cover corner with one major flaw. His tackling is abysmal. I think he might be one of the worst tackling corners that I've ever seen. And this was, I had this on my notes before I even looked at PFF's grades for it. His PFF tackling grades, 29.5 this past year, 29.5, 42.7, 58.1 the year before that, which is a miracle for him. And then 35.5 the year before that. He is a brutal tackler. We'll get more into that when we get to the negatives on Asante Samuel. He is 26 years old in October, so he's still young and in the prime of his career, which is one big reason why teams are going to be interested in his services. He's 5'10", 180, so undersized, especially from a weight standpoint. 5'10 is fine, but kind of on that fringe range. He had a relative athletic score of 7.47 coming out of college with a 4.41 40-yard dash. He was a second-round pick in 2021 by the Chargers. The positives, you can play him in the slot, you can play him outside, although with the tackling issues, you can't play him consistently in the slot, but you can play him a little bit there, especially on passing downs. Comes up with some big plays, has great ball skills, takes after his dad, is willing to jump some routes, get his hands on the ball, and make some big plays. There's no question about that. He's versatile. He's scheme fluid. You can play him in pretty much any style of defense, and he can find ways to be successful. Cover two, cover three, cover four, man-to-man. He can play just about everything. Best with his eyes on the quarterback, so I like him in zone a little bit more. It's going to give him that playmaking ability, have his vision on the quarterback, and be able to jump some of those routes and make some of those plays. Does a nice job in man-to-man of getting his head turned and making sure he's getting eyes on the ball and making a play on it, which can be a big issue for corners at times. It's not for Asante. There will be some grabbing here and there, but that's more within the route itself. At the catch point, he does not panic. He has those natural cornerback, you know, tendencies and a feel for the game, and he doesn't just panic and just all of a sudden grab and bring people down. Again, I think he took after his dad. He watched him play a lot of corner, knows what to do and what not to do, and that certainly shows up on tape. Has a great cornerback mentality. If he does give up a play, it's not going to affect him on the next play. I love the way that he kind of manages the game. Good analytical numbers as a pass defender. Like, quarterbacks don't have a ton of success throwing his way. It's, again, it's not stellar. It's not a top tier corner, but you know, you're talking about a 90 passer rating over, you know, basically the course of his career. Like, that's a good solid cover corner in the NFL. No two ways around it. And he's young and in his prime. So there's a lot to like about that. The negatives, as I mentioned, might be one of the worst tackling corners that I have ever seen. And I'm talking in all phases, in run defense and pass defense. Like, he shies away from contact. He does not want to get involved in the play. You can run at him. Miami in week one of 2023 was just running pitch plays at him over and over and over again. You can run screens at him, wide receiver screens at him. You can throw plays in the flat. Josh Jacobs made him look completely silly when he was a member of the Raiders on two different occasions. Like, it's just a nightmare. It is really, really bad. If you get tackled by Asante Samuel, you should be embarrassed. And if you are not immediately putting a game plan together to run everything to make Asante Samuel tackle in the game, you are doing things wrong, because he just can't and won't do it. It is awful. It is truly awful. He will get caught flat-footed, jump some plays, and get beat deep from time to time. He will get out-muscled at the catch point. This is another thing. Like, even when he has good coverage, because of his size or lack thereof, bigger receivers will just give him trouble and they'll make the play. So that's another deficiency in his game of, like, even when Samuel can play it perfect, the receiver might just out-muscle him at the catch point and make the play and make the reception anyway. Did struggle against better route runners. They would get him twisted and turned from time to time. PBUs came on bad throws. So if you see some of those pass breakup stats, know that more than a handful came on just some bad throws and ones that he actually was, I would argue, beat on, but the throw didn't get there on time and it allowed him to get back in the play and break him up. So the pass breakup should actually probably be a little bit less. He will get a little bit grabby within the route, as I mentioned, gets a little bit lost in the scramble drills. The closing burst is actually lacking, which I was surprising. And I want to touch base on this and one other thing. Actually, here it is. Gets beat at the catch point. So, like, you'll see him have good coverage, and then we kind of talked about getting out-muscled, but also, like, there'll be kind of that closing burst to the ball, and the receiver will have it, like Darnell Mooney did it to him, where they're even, and then the ball is a little bit further down, and Mooney bursts to the ball, and Samuel just can't stick with it. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, you would expect the 4-4, 40 guy to have that quickness to kind of make up for the play, but at that final, that final third of the play, Like that's where you see, or even like final 10th of the play is where you kind of see him get lost and get beat and just receivers come up with plays at that point of it. The coverage looks good up until that point. And it's not like he's doing anything ridiculously wrong. It's just whether it's out muscled or out hustled or like out, I don't know, but receivers are just coming up with the catches at that point of the play. And then of course he is coming off some major injuries as well in 2024, which will be worth checking out if you are a team as well. Should Green Bay sign him? It's just a non-starter. It's a 0.0% chance. There's no conversation about it. There's no chance that Green Bay is going to sign a 180-pound, 5'10 corner who can't tackle, won't tackle, wants nothing to do with tackling. No chance. So I hate to break it to you. If Asante Samuel is your cup of tea and you were really hoping for an Asante Samuel Jr. sighting in Green Bay in 2025, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. It is not going to happen. And this is why we go over this, because I see a lot of people on social media saying like they should bring in Asante Samuel. Okay. Like, let's look at it. And you look at it and you're just like, there's zero. We know Green Bay. Can you imagine them signing a 5'10", 180-pound, zero tackling corner? Excuse me. There's no chance. 0% chance. I'll do something crazy if they sign Asante Samuel to a deal. Now, again, if all of a sudden it's like a one-year, like $4 million deal and you can get him super cheap, then all bets are off, right? But even then, like, I don't know that Green Bay's like, if he's going for that, somebody else is going to sign him probably more than Green Bay is going to. So I would be pretty stunned. Don't expect them in Green Bay. Treverius Ward is the more interesting. If they do sign one of these two, I would very much expect it to be Treverius Ward. But it's going to all be up to how teams view Treverius Ward and if they think he can get back to 2023 version. And this is what we get into is like we've gone through a lot of good players already in these breakdowns. But in free agency, good players have deficiencies. And Green Bay doesn't struggle to find good players. You kind of have to go through those elites. And that's why I continue to go back to the pass rusher makes the most sense, whether you have to trade for a Max Crosby or a big time pass rusher, or maybe bring in, you know, I think the Milton Williams, the Josh Sweats, the Oso Odighizuas, the like those type of players are a little bit closer to that they can be a little bit more. But even Sweat, Odighizua, Milton Williams, those guys have flaws in their game too. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Goody prioritizes, which of these players he goes all in on, if he goes in all in on any of them, and you know, what those flaws were that he was willing to overlook in his evaluation process. That's why we go through this. For me, it's a ton of fun. I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. Like I said, probably only a couple of these left. I think Drew Dahlman is going to be tomorrow one of the top interior offensive linemen on the market. Excited to dig into his tape. I know a lot of people have brought him up, so we will get into it and it should be a fun one. Always things can change if there's some breaking news or something else, but as of right now, that's the expectation. I will see you guys there. Looking forward to it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Steph Keat, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, and Razul Douglas time. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.